From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Russian President Vladimir Putin won re-election on Sunday, and former CIA officer turned attorney Jack Rice just returning from Russia.
It was very clear from the beginning that Vladimir Putin would win this election. He excluded his potential rivals, make sure that they were kept off of television, and then, believe it or not, campaigned intensely in the country to make sure that he had huge numbers in his column.
Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe deployed teams of observers to monitor that election. Reporters asked the head of the OSCE mission, Jan Petersen, if any irregularities were observed.
We have reports from 291 teams throughout the whole of Russia, which means that we have a lot of information to process before we can give the full picture. And I think it's very, very important that we do not voice any opinion based on a very limited number of observations.
Putin's victory will take his potential dominance of Russia until 2024, when he will be 71 years old. President Trump accuses special counsel Robert Mueller of political bias in the investigation of the Trump 2016 election campaign and possible links to Russia, and whether the president obstructed justice in trying to stop the probe. Trump lawyer suggested officials bring an end to Mueller's investigation. Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza has set May 17th for a referendum to extend his rule. Burundi embroiled in political turmoil since he decided to seek a third term in 2015. Referendum would amend the constitution to extend presidential terms to 7 years. This is VOA News. Turkish forces and their Syrian rebel allies swept into the northwestern town of Afrin on Sunday, raising their flags in the town center and declaring full control after an 8-week campaign to drive out the Kurdish YPG forces. Trinity University Middle East scholar David Lesh tells VOA this is a win for Turkey.
It's a significant victory for Turkey with regard to its strategic interest in Syria, and it really reshuffles the diplomatic deck in several ways in terms of a potential political settlement in Syria, in that now Turkey has a much bigger seat at the table with this victory, rather than, you know, if they had been bogged down in a quagmire for months and months and then had to withdraw.
Syrian Kurds threatening a new stepped-up guerrilla war following the Turkish incursion, that is, into Afrin, which is a Kurdish enclave. Turkey regards the YPG as part of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the guerrilla group that has been fighting for a separatist Kurdish state that would include parts of Turkey. A senior North Korean diplomat will be in Finland for talks with former U.S. and South Korean officials, Yonhap News Agency reporting, amid a series of diplomatic encounters ahead of a possible summit between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. North Korean and Swedish foreign ministers ended 3 days of talks over the weekend on security on the Korean Peninsula. Robert Manning is a senior fellow at the Brent Scowcroft Center for International Security at the Atlantic Council.
The meeting that was more interesting and serious is the one in Sweden, where the North Korean foreign minister just left from. Sweden, as you know, represents U.S. interests in Pyongyang. I find it hard to imagine that they didn't have some talking points from the State Department, even though the meeting was, as far as we know, only between the Swedes and the North Koreans.
In an interview on the CBS News program Face the Nation, South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa noted that Kim Jong-un has, in effect, met a condition for talks by making a commitment to denuclearization.
He's given his word, but the significance of his word is quite weighty in the sense that this is the first time that the words came directly from the North Korean supreme leader himself.
Kang stressed that Kim will receive no reward for engaging in dialogue, and that South Korea and the United States will be pressing the North Korean leader to take unspecified actions, as she put it, in order for there to be any progress. Australia and the ASEAN group, the Southeast Asian nations, have agreed in a summit in Sydney to establish a regional infrastructure pipeline as
That's the latest world news from VOA.